Hello and welcome to Healthy Bottom Line, a podcast from Chief Healthcare Executive. I'm Ron Southwick, lead editor of Chief Healthcare Executive. Today, we're going to talk about the patient journey with Brenda Snow, the founder and CEO of Snow Companies. She's the author of a new book about her experience of living with MS for 30 years. She offers guidance for patients and loved ones on dealing with a diagnosis, speaking up to be heard, and dealing with the financial stress of healthcare. She offers important guidance for doctors and hospitals, too. It's a great conversation. Thanks for joining us. This is Healthy Bottom Line. Well, thanks for joining us today. This is Healthy Bottom Line. We're talking today with Brenda Snow, well-known advocate for patients. She is the founder and CEO of Snow Companies, the author of a new book out, Diagnosed: The Essential Guide to Navigating the Patient Journey. Brenda, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks, Ron, for having me. It's my pleasure.
Well, talk a little bit about Snow Companies and just tell people, I think a lot of people know about it already, but just talk about your company and some of the work that you do.
Yeah, sure. I would be happy to. So, Snow Company, I like to think disrupted the life science industry a little bit. Back in the 90s, when I was diagnosed with MS, Snow Companies really came out of my experience, out of being a patient. So, very quickly, I was a healthcare consumer that had a hard time consuming. So, the healthcare team I had at the time was not the right team for me. So, finding the right doctors, and then all of a sudden, I was receiving one of the first FDA-approved drugs, and there was no information about that product for patients. And I think, you're talking about chronic long-term conditions. So, fast forward a few years later, when I was trying to take these medications, I thought, shouldn't the biopharmaceutical industry be doing a better job for patients? And thus was born out of that experience, Snow Companies, which is the first of its kind patient engagement agency. And we really work in the direct-to-patient space. So hand raisers work in chronic conditions, rare conditions, tough to treat, challenging route of administration. And in some cases, terminal, different various cancers. So it's been for me the labor of love of my life. I tell my daughter I love it almost as much as her. And I don't know that she always loves that, but it's great to see it be so successful. And like I said, really sort of hold, I think, or certainly help the life science industry. Remember that they're developing these novel therapeutics for the patients they serve, right? And so while it is a for-profit industry, if the patients don't have the right access to the medication, or they don't understand the side effect profile of the medication, or they don't understand how to take the medication, and what it really can do and what it can't do, proper expectation setting, then, why do you have your job is what I like to think. Back in the day, it used to be just talk to the doctor, talk to the doctor. Well, the doctor doesn't take the drug. The doctor is part of this paradigm, but it's the patient who has to internalize this when they live with a chronic or rare condition, because you have to take these medications in some cases for the rest of your life. Not always, but in many.
And it seems like a perfect segue to your new book, Diagnosed, which has just come out.
It is. Let
Doing
me
very
just show
well.
you how beautiful it is there. Yeah, it is a perfect segue. So in my work with, and thank you, in my work with Snow, over the years building self-coalescing patient groups and different platforms for people to engage. Ultimately, I wanted their personal narrative to mean something. I wanted their story, their patient journey to meet something. So I always started with mine. And every time I would share my story, inevitably I would hear from patients, their care partners, from people in industry, you should write a book. And I thought, well, that sounds like a great idea. I've tried lots of things in life. I have no idea how to write a book, but I was too busy building a business. My partner and I, and all of the amazing people that work at Snow Companies, when you're just having year-over-year growth and everything, there was just really no time to do that. And then came COVID. And COVID for many was a very isolating experience for me. It gave me time to focus on myself. So still had to navigate the company through a really rough year. That was probably leadership extraordinaire. That was the Shackleton moment of leadership. But I had time to think about, could this be a possibility? So I started the process, have an amazing partner who really kind of taught me how to do this, Greta Myers, and started on the book and didn't realize it would be cathartic in some ways. I thought I was going to start off writing that female empowerment leadership book, and the words weren't coming. And then I re realized, I was like, I had this epiphany. The only reason I am a female empowered leader is because I got sick. So it was because I had MS that this all began. So I thought I need to write the book for patients that I wish I had when I got diagnosed. How are you going to feel? How are you going to talk about it? What the hell is going to happen to you? All the things, and ultimately move people forward on their journey because everybody deserves a life of meaning and purpose and beauty. And that is sort of the gift I hope this book inspires people that are living with a serious medical condition to get to.
Answered the question I was going to ask about it. Cathartic, I was wondering. I mean, was it difficult emotionally though, putting it together? I mean, you're talking not just about your experiences, but you're certainly only them in the book. I mean, was that hard to do? Was that sort of draining, or was it sort of draining and exhilarating at the same time?
Well, it's a great question, Ron, and we've known each other for a hot minute, and you've got a good pulse on me because it was all of those things, 100%. I've shared my story thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of times, so I didn't think that it would have the effect on me that I did, but I had to kind of go broader and think about things that I had sort of tucked over here and thought, oh, I don't need to really, deal with that per se. So I think it took me longer to write the book. It took about 2, 2.5 years to write the book, for that very reason, wanting to sort of process it all. And I really thought, at one point, it's just like this legacy piece, right? My family will have it sort of documented. But then when I realized, wow, there's really helpful, useful information in here. Like I said, stuff I wish I knew. Then it was like, okay, this might have some legs, and no pun intended, because mine don't work sometimes, but let's see. And we're off to a great start. It's an Amazon bestseller. I've received lots of fantastic, a great Kirkus review and lots of patients writing to me, which means the most because that's where my heart is with the patient community for sure.
Yeah, it's nice to get the good critic reviews, but the patients say it's
One,
them probably the best.
that's where my heart lies.
You talked about having to switch your care team after your diagnosis. That might be a good thing to talk about for other patients who might be not just struggling with their diagnosis, but maybe they have maybe well-intentioned clinicians, but they're not connecting or may just not be the right fit. What are some signs that maybe a patient needs to look at a different provider if they're not satisfied or they just feel like something's not right?
Well, also another great question and super important. And I think oftentimes I've heard over the years people being afraid to have that conversation, being nervous to offend the doctor, or it is a lot of work, right? Then you've got to find new people and medical records and new tests. So, it's when you're sick or you're going through something that seems like a very arduous, big task. But I would say for me, the things and the signs and the watch outs are, they're not available to you. We're talking about long-term illnesses, that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your cholesterol. It can lead to long-term things, but these are serious medical conditions. So, do you have access? Are they responsive to you in a timely fashion? When you are going for your in-person meetings, are all your questions being answered? I've recommended to patients for years, send over a pre-read. Send it if you know some things that are real hot topics for you, send it a week in advance and let the care team know these are the things that you expect to get to the bottom to or have answered during that visit. So if those things aren't happening, I would say that's a great opportunity to either one, address it and say, you know, I think that you guys are great and I know that you've helped me such for, but my needs are changing and I need you to change and evolve with me. Or if it's a situation, unfortunately, like I had early on where that physician out of the gate said there was no chance I had MS, but a mental illness, and I should be have my daughter taken away from me and be ki committed to an institution. You know, there's words in the book, but I can't say them on your show, Ron. The two of them, they go together. One ends with a U. That was a non-starter for me. I needed to find somebody immediately. I would like to say, though, that as advances in diagnostic tools have gotten more sophisticated over the years since I was diagnosed, people are getting diagnosed easier in some cases. And I think we have a different generations of physicians treating that have been dialed in more to the doctor-patient communication piece that really is vital for successful outcomes in chronic and rare and terminal conditions.
And it's you mentioned about like how some patients are worried about offending a doctor, and I know there are generations of patients that you're up just the doctor's always right, you know,
Yes.
they stay with it even if they don't particularly necessarily like that clinician, but that's just who we go to, and that they're always right. And doctors often are right, but there are times if they're not right or they're just not listening, they might be right on the medicine, but they're not maybe giving you that,
For sure.
empathy that you need, then maybe you need to look for somebody different. So.
Yeah, and it's really something to think about because when you think about the largest segment of healthcare consumers right now, it's, you know, the baby boomer generation, right? And so a lot of that, especially the part of it that skews a little bit older, I mean, they do have a little bit of that. The doctor's always right. The doctor is gone. It's a generational thing. And, you know, you could find yourself being treated suboptimally. And that's the last thing that, you know, I certainly want for anybody. Just, I know how it feels. It feels terrible. So be brave, have those courageous conversations. And there's lots of suggestions in the book to help you get there and get you over that hump if you're nervous to have them.
You've obviously dealt with the health system for a long time now. What are the things that you obviously you mentioned about some encouraging gains in, diagnostic technologies, but what are the things that as a patient still kind of drive you crazy when you have to deal with the health system?
Well, I would say, considering I was a healthcare consumer in the middle of the night last night and had emergency procedure done, I think I was, and then I thought, wow, did the universe do this to me? So I have more to talk about in all these pods. But I think there was a lot of chatter around me. I really kind of like kept my ears open while I was in triage and stuff. There was a lot of frustration with access, insurance, payer coverage. That is a beast. And I don't know how we crack that or fix that. You know, in some ways, it's not my core area of expertise, but I certainly think, you know, the healthcare system is going to buckle. It already is buckling. I mean, you know, the toilet tissue roll was off the wall on the floor. The shower was dirty because I had to be admitted overnight. I mean, I was sort of staggered that I'm, you know, in New York City at a leading center and this was the state of it. So I think that is something that, you know, as healthcare consumers, we're going to have to address and look at, but it's a big beast. I would say more on the surface level. The care partner piece stood out to me. I'm thinking of writing a second book specifically for care partners. There were so many people around me that were trying to get a hold of family members. What should I tell my family member? They were scared. You know, in some cases, you have drugs already in you. You're not tracking. And it was really hard for anybody to get the kind of support they needed to get their families to them or on the phone or in the room. And I know that with their security at places, but There was a lot of stress around me last night with people feeling that they didn't have access to their loved ones.
So just for our audience that Brenda was in the hospital last night. She was discharged this morning. Still agreed to be on our podcast today. We gave her a chance to reschedule. She's a trooper. She wanted to stay
Yeah,
with us. So that's just unbelievable
I
news.
did.
Yeah,
That's this
that's
is
some
what it,
really
this
that's
is
some
what
fortitude.
endurance looks like. It's in the book. Here you go.
Absolutely. But it just makes me think about the hospital experience and the healthcare experience in general. Because I've heard so many people talk about, and even like some physicians who are going through their own healthcare issues about like, and maybe this problem you've run into too, like, one physician's not talking to the other physician. A new physician's battling cancer, and she'd go to one appointment and said, "Well, how are the test results?" Like, "Well, you should have them already because they were done by," and just
Correct.
constantly having to explain over and over again what's happening and having to, and nobody talking to each other. And she's like, "And I'm a physician, so I at least know how to navigate it. But if I was just average, everyday person on the street with no knowledge of the health system, I would be lost." So
Oh, and
I'm suffering from that.
yeah, it's incredibly hard. And you're sort of operating under the assumption, right, that with your electronic medical records and all of the things that text that, and you have a condition that requires maybe three specialists or a specialist and an ancillary care team that they are all talking. And then you get there and you find out that they haven't. And then you spend your whole appointment briefing everybody, right? On this. And then your list of stuff you wanted to come for doesn't happen because time's up. And it leaves you very frustrated and tired having to go back and constantly rebuild. So, you know, I want to. My intention is not to ever like trash, you know, healthcare professionals because we need them and I think they're heroes 99% of the time. But this is a piece where we need to do better. And but again, busy and stressed. I saw it last night. And I mean, there was some, you know, there was some team members there that you could see were on the brink of a bad attitude and cracking from overworked and the pressure. And so when you're drinking from a fire hose, maybe you're not staying on top of that communication that you need to be for your patients. But it's certainly an area that you, as your own best advocate, have to push. And I have found, again, that getting ahead of it, you know, with a text, with an email, with a phone call saying, please make sure everything that is recent from all the different labs, tests, whatever, have been read and reviewed for my visit.
In addition to being your own advocate, how important is it to maybe have, if you're fortunate enough to have either spouse, sibling, parent nearby,
Sure.
loved one, to also maybe be with you on some of these appointments as well? My wife was diagnosed with breast cancer 15 years ago. She's now fully healthy. She's doing great,
Right.
winning her age group in 10Ks, so she's doing fantastic.
Fantastic.
But my her doctor, who was fantastic, like the doctor that everybody should have, was just kind of gave me a gentle reminder, like when we first started going through this, like, try to beat all these appointments because with the chemo and the other
Yeah.
treatments, she's going to be a little foggy. She's not maybe going to remember things. So made it a point to be at those appointments to kind of be able to ask questions, follow up. But also, how great was that doctor? Like, not just looking at the diagnosis, but looking at the whole picture and
Yeah.
kind of give me that very, very gentle, like, be here as many as for all these appointments as we can because it'll help her too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's absolutely critical. I do cover off on some of that, but it is vital, and that's why even in the book and at Snow Companies, you know, I like to use the term care partner and not a caregiver because it really is a partnership. And a lot of times you're the eyes and ears. Sometimes you have to do more than, you know, you anticipated doing, and you go through your own grief cycle too. I'm sure that you experienced that, Ron, you know. And I think as a care partner, it's very important to validate that that's okay and give yourself the time. And you also need to save part of your life for you. And the person you're caring for needs to get to a place that they're okay giving you time away from being a care partner. Otherwise, I think in too many situations, I would say anecdotally, I've seen those relationships crack. But certainly having somebody at your appointment, I know in my specific case with multiple sclerosis, there's been times cognitively that, you know, there's been extremely helpful. Somebody's taking the notes, somebody's writing things down, somebody's the second set of ears to go over with me what just happened. So it's vital. It's vital. And I think for people that would say, well, I don't have that. Somebody loves you, somebody out there loves you. And you might have to ask somebody that you didn't really think would fit the role. But if you need that, again, speak up for yourself. It's important.
If there's one time where it's okay to be selfish, it's when you're going through a health journey, whether you're battling an illness or
Yes.
chronic condition. This is one time where you should really feel free to say, this is what I need.
Absolutely. I agree. I agree.
Talk about the financial stress too, that for especially for some conditions. I mean, you can run up some pretty hefty hospital bills, and hearing some heartbreaking stories about what medical debt is doing to families across America. How much does that add to the stress when you would love to just be focusing on dealing with your illness, your condition, whatever, but you also figure out how to pay for this too. So how much does that weigh on you when you're going through this?
It's absolutely massive. And again, back to the care partner, I mean, it's a full-time job, often chasing down how things are going to get paid, what the coverage is, where the loophole is, how you get that covered. I mean, it is literally a full-time job in many cases. So I don't want to sugarcoat that at all. And I was very, very lucky because I was very, very sick at the time. It would have been an impossibility for me to do that myself, that I had a wonderful family that did kind of serve and help me in that capacity. But again, it's going back to like the big nut. I mean, this financial piece is a part of it. There are many heartbreaking stories that are still going on of, you're denied access to something that could literally save your life, alter the course of your disease, or the financial pieces there. So it's a very big burden. There's no easy answers. It's a lot of searching. It's a lot of chasing things down. And sometimes it comes with, news that you don't want to hear. In my case, I ended up, I was living in the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm from California, and I had, bought a home before things blew up and went crazy out there. And it did while I was sick. So I literally sold my home, now I'm not saying do this. I just want to add that caveat. But in my situation, use the money to pay down the debt and moved across the country to a small town in the middle of nowhere that we could afford. So that's extreme, but I'm not the first person that I've heard extreme solutions to some of these problems. So no easy answers with that one, unfortunately.
No, there's not. But if there's,
Yeah.
certainly a call for at least health systems to do whatever they can to help their patients find the
Yeah.
things that are available to help them too.
Yeah.
So.
There's like I love working with all of our cancer patients over the year. All the nurse navigators, they are really like incredible. And so many of them are a key resource, and have really served kind of that gap in helping find ways to go about this and get things covered. So big shout out to them. And like I said, I love my healthcare team now. I have a fabulous group of physicians and nurses, and when I need physical therapy or whatever. So it is a journey, and that's why we're talking about the patient journey. It took me a while to get that in place, but I mean, these people are an extension of me. I mean, they keep me going. So that should be the gold standard everybody looks for.
You've been dealing with MS for 30 some years now. Does it get, I don't want to say easier, but do you manage it better as time goes on, accepting the things you can do and can, or are there the days where it's like, it's not about acceptance. We're in the anger phase. I mean, how do you deal with it as since you've been dealing with it for a while?
Yeah, well, I think get easier. I think the acceptance piece is key. I don't know that there's days, today's a less easy day for me than yesterday was, but I've made peace and accepted my disease and condition. And again, I talk a lot about that in the book, and that's the place that I really want people to get to. And as you accept it and you internalize it, you get better at, I say no is not a dirty word. You get better at boundary setting. You get better at knowing how you're going to fill your bucket up with the things that you can do that do bring you joy and light and happiness and peace, instead of kind of trying to stay in this grief place of just mourning the you before. You know, there's a big identity earthquake that happens. So I think I've internalized it. I think that I'm good at all these things that I talked about, but sure, every day I wake up, I know that I have MS. Not a day has gone by. So, you know, and you still get emotional every day. I know I have MS, but I'm very proud of the way that myself and so many other people that have influenced and been such an inspiration to me on my journey, and you know who you are, have made that path so much better for me.
Well, our audience is largely hospital health system leaders, physicians, nurses. What advice or insights would you have for them in terms of helping their patients, not just in terms of treating disease, but just helping them throughout their whole experience and their journey?
You know, I was talking to a friend last night, and it was great insight. I was talking about maybe the second book, and he said, it sounds like it's one word, listen. Listen. And I thought, you know, that really stands out because everything that we just talked about, you know, all of the challenges this wonderful group of healthcare professionals has on their very capable shoulders, and time is stressed. But listen, sometimes it's as easy as validating, just as easy as validating. I hear you. I understand what you're saying, and we'll work together on this. So that really hit me last night, and I thought it's so simple, yet so eloquent and beautiful that that might be. And, you know, even with my little emergency last night, my doctor that I texted, he listened, dropped everything, came and took care of me. So that was amazing.
And that one word, which can cover so much, and that's where you think about some of the other pressures on the system, where some, you know, especially with some staffing issues some hospitals face, like, you know, think every doctor and every nurse really wants to listen, and then sometimes they're not maybe doing well good of a job listening because they're thinking about the 10 other patients on the floor they have to see or
Yeah,
something. It's not an
that's right.
easy problem to solve, but.
No, but maybe looking out for that nugget of is this as simple as holding the hand, you know, holding the hand, taking a second to make the eye contact, making it feel that humanity exists.
That's the key, because that's, you know, that when you're going through this, you want to feel like you're, you know, not just a case or condition or disease. You want to feel like you're a person that really has value, and, you know, the doctors that I've seen do that, it just it's very special. It doesn't make everything better, but it makes a hard road a little bit easier.
Exactly. To the point where, you know, like I said, I've had those interactions too, and it's brought me to tears. I've just been so thankful and grateful. So, yeah, not easy, but that would be my patient advice and expertise, and think I can speak for thousands of other patients that they would say the same.
Well, Brenda, this time has really flown, so,
It
and
went by so quick. You're
it
so
really
great,
did.
Ron.
And hey, since you were in the hospital overnight, it doesn't feel right to make you talk much longer. So,
Oh no, listen, I'm like I said, I am so honored to be a guest, and I thank you for your time. And this was a priority for me, and spreading the word about, I guess I want to leave everybody with this that is watching it too, you know, the perspective of a patient of wanting hope. You know, I talk a lot about hope in the book, and hope has been really a lifeline for me. It's been the one thing in the darkest of times on the journey, and even in the brightest moments. And I think to remember that hope is possibility. And that's really the way I look at it. So for your audience listening to this as my final nugget, you know, being able to provide, you know, realistic hope, but remembering that for the patient, that's a possibility to get back to the life that they deserve to be living. So, hope.
Hope can take
Another four-letter
another four-letter word. This one we can say. We like that. We like that. So that is great. Well,
Yeah.
we've been talking with Brenda Snow, CEO, founder of Snow Companies. Her new book, Diagnosed: The Essential Guide to Navigating the Patient Journey. You can find it on Amazon, booksellers elsewhere too. But Brenda, again, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thanks, Ron. I had a blast.
Thanks for listening to Healthy Bottom Line, a podcast from Chief Healthcare Executive. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For the latest healthcare news, compelling features, and deeper dives, visit chiefhealthcareexecutive.com. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and X. I'm Ron Southwick, lead editor of Chief Healthcare Executive. Take care.